name's Harminder Kelsey, but they call me Bindi Kelsey. I'm from a Sikh background, born and bred in Kenya, moved to Uganda. I'd like to say deported, but exiled, I'd use the term, to England by President Idi Amin in 1972, and came to this country on a cold, wet September evening, and it was just appalling, very homesick, and it was dark, so it wasn't very nice. So our introduction to England was really kind of dismal. I now live in Handsworth, Birmingham. We've lived here since 73. The one memory that kind of is an endearing memory that I have is my father used to travel a lot. We owned a sand supply kind of company. But the most endearing kind of memory I have is on his return trips, he used to, you know, fruit of all sorts on the way, because they just sell them by the sacks, you know, by basket loads. And I can remember waking up one morning, one late night, it must have been 1 or 2 in the morning, with all the hubbub going on in the house, waking up and walking out into the veranda and seeing a huge heap of fruit. And that's the most endearing memory I have of my dad. He traveled out to Kenya at the age of around 3 or 4. My father, my great-grand-uncle was the first person to migrate from Punjab to Kenya. This was when the British were installing the rail from the coast to Uganda. And my great-grand-uncle was there in Tsavo when all these lion attacks were taking place and all this kind of stuff. So I recently found out about this before my dad passed away. And then my grandfather migrated with my grandmum and my dad at the age who was 4 at the time. He lived there most of his life. I think traditionally he was brought up what was culturally appropriate at that time in terms of their upbringing was very insular in terms of all the religious teachings, all the other stuff, the kind of, you know, strict in terms of their values that they had, were very clear. He was very black and white. There weren't any greys in his kind of vocabulary. You were either right or you were wrong. And that was how he was. He was a strict disciplinarian. And as a young child, I remember all he had to do was look at us and we'd freeze. It was that strict. And no harm done, but that's how we were brought up, and that's what you knew at the time. Obviously, I bring my children up in a different way, but that's how they were. And then we moved from Kenya to Uganda when the company was split between partners for some other reasons that I would not going to go into. He moved to Uganda and then started working as a project manager on one of the largest hotels that was built at the time. And then settled in Uganda, and we had a large house, servants, cars, you know, people who worked for us, and it was great. It was fun, and that's you know how I remember him. No relationship with any father is you know on an even keel. You have your ups and downs. On the whole, I think I got to know him better as I became a dad. I think you go through a period of kind of when you're young, he's your hero, he's, you know, he knows everything and he's approachable, he's loving. Not that he wasn't loving, you know, as he went on, but because as a teenager you're trying to find your own space and your own kind of, you know, understanding and awareness, you tend to rebel against certain things. And obviously, you know, because we were in England, we were doing things that they didn't do. And he would tell us off and I'd be broody. And, you know, there were times when he'd be broody about it and he'd be angry. And, you know, there were moments when there was lots of laughter. There were times when there was lots of cuddling and kind of, you know, which was lovely. But the thing is, as you become older, you begin to realize the kind of things that your parents have done for you and what you do for your children. Yeah, and then you understand that it's not something that's written in textbooks. you do the best you can at the time.
With the recent influx of communities from Africa, you know, I can now buy, ugali, which is corn flour, and make ugali, which is the African staple diet in Kenya and Uganda. And I can get green bananas and stuff like that, which is just wonderful to have that kind of influx and input. And I think there's, you know, from our community's perspective, you know, from any community, one way of assimilating and integrating within a community is being able to kind of, you know, share food. Yeah, it's one of the most commonest and basic items within a home. And if you can share your food, you're sharing literally everything with people.